Well, good morning to everyone. Good to see you all, and I'm glad to be here. I see some really familiar faces out here, and as I think about what's happening with men's fraternity and encourage men, yeah, it's a really exciting time for me to think about you guys be really interested in changing some of the things that are going on in men's lives over the years and making a difference in the world. And as I think about the men who have impacted my life, as I was preparing for this, two names came to mind, names some of you are going to know very well, Leon Martin and our Irvin Weaver Sr. Any of you know these good men? Okay, I see Nelson sitting right up front here, and my son-in-law sitting right beside him. Okay, good. But you know, I've had a wonderful life of teaching for about the last 30 years, but without those two men, I would not be here today. I would not be here, okay? Because they were men who saw something in me that I did not see in myself. And they were men who encouraged me. And that's what this is about this morning. You've been going through other kinds of things like father wounds and mother wounds and that sort of thing. But now we want to switch gears and move into the idea of men working together. And we really desperately need each other. The Friendless American Male is a book that's been written a long time ago talking about the way men tend to feel alone. Any of you guys feel alone sometimes? Yeah, okay, we should all have our hands up. You know, we feel alone. We're called to do things that are beyond our ability sometimes. I was just talking to Mike this morning in his responsibilities with administrating school. Anybody read the new book out by Daniel Zimmerman on Terry Hill Mennonite High School? At least you've got it. I think it's just out last week, so I don't know if you've got it and read it or not. But, you know, a book that he's talking about, a book that's been a school that's been a blessing to many people. And when I think about all those kinds of things that happen, it happens because a group of men to get together and they work together and they plan and they do things that are going to be beneficial to other men, okay? And as we teach men, we're teaching everybody. Sometimes over the last years, as I'm teaching at places like SMBI and Terry Hill and so on, I've been accused by the girls and the ladies of not talking to them. And you know, it's probably an accurate accusation. But what I've been convinced of over the years is if we as men do our job, the women are going to be fine. You agree with that? If we do our job, my wife and I raised three girls and two boys. I think it's a little easier to raise girls than it is to raise guys like you, okay, or guys like me. My mom told me that I caused her more trouble than my brothers put together, so I guess she wanted to make sure I had that etched in my mind before she passed away. It wasn't long before she passed away after that. I guess she wanted to make sure I knew that. You know, some of us have caused a lot of trouble, but God wants to use us, and He wants to use us to bless other people, okay? And so, important for us to understand. The lesson today is about the all alone wound. Last year, I taught this lesson last year, and I think I had anybody remember the prop I had here last year? I did not bring along this year. See what your memories are. Yeah. I had a shield along, okay. Yeah. There's two kinds of shields that were used by soldiers in years gone by, and one was a shield they just put on their forearm. It's kind of a round, maybe a foot and a half in diameter. And it was used something you could move around to deflect a spear or a sword or an arrow or something like that. But then there was another kind of a shield that was about 2 feet wide and about 4 feet high. And you could literally hide behind this thing, not completely, but you could protect yourself. And the other thing about that shield was it had a hook on each side at top and bottom. And the purpose of that was that other men with those shields, you could link those shields together. Okay, and they could move forward as a group. Maybe you've seen pictures of this. And when they moved forward as a group, it was called a phalanx, a Greek word that refers to staying together and giving a united front. Okay, and when you're just there by yourself, you've got all sides to protect, right? But when you've got a brother on either side of you, you feel safe. Is that right? You feel secure. You know there's somebody watching you. There's somebody guarding. Okay. It's just so important that we do that. So as we're moving on in the journey of encouraged men here, we're talking about leaving behind some of our other studies, not forgetting about them, but moving on to like the day-by-day activities. We're moving on to the day-by-day stuff where it's not just what happened to us in the past, but it's the decisions you make every day. And there's something I've been teaching my students over the years, and that is I ask them the question, what's wrong with the world? Anybody know my answers to this? Men, okay. What's wrong with the world? Every time, you know, in doing counseling and so on, every time a problem comes up, you can trace it back to something that a man did or didn't do, or something that was a man did wrong. So we're the problem, fellas. We are the problem. But we're also the answer. We're the answer because God's answer to the problems in the world is godly men. And that means day by day, I usually snap my fingers when I say this, we have to make moment by moment decisions. Do you have to make moment by moment decisions? Okay? And we need each other to do that. You know, just yesterday, one of my friends called me at 7:30 in the morning. He was traveling. He said, "You have time to talk?" We talked for about an hour, and I was trying to work with one hand. You know, he was driving, and but I knew he needed to talk, okay? He needed me. Do I have time? Okay. There are men in your life who need you. The men who can live their lives into you, as I said. Well, lest I talk about all kinds of things and not about our lesson today, what I want to talk about today is this all-alone wound where, and this is something that, not something somebody did to us, it's something we do to ourselves. We sort of sequester ourselves away and hide away and think, well, nobody cares, right? We all have these feelings, right? It's a tough day. Nobody cares. I've got to go out alone. We can't afford that. We really cannot afford that. So as a man, as men, we hurt ourselves many times by refusing to see life as it really is. And according, you know, working off the script from the notes here, life is a team sport. We've all played baseball or softball or something, right? Okay. You know, do you ever play second base, say, and you went to field a ball, and the shortstop backed you up? You remember anything like this? Or, you know, somebody's backing you up. That is so critical, and we got to do that in life. In life, we need to do that. Make sure that we're not just out there by ourselves. We're backing each other up. And there are things that, as I like to tell men, there are things that women don't understand. Is that right? But we don't have to think about those things right now. We can think about things we do understand. And we can think about the fact that we need to make decisions. And as raising girls and teaching girls, you know, in school and Bible school, many times, as I like to say, those girls can make good decisions and good choices, and they'll stay with them all day, all week, all month. They can stay with them all their life. And with most men, it doesn't work that way. We make a good choice, right? And you walk down the street. 10 minutes later, you're faced with another temptation. Is that right? What do you have to do? Another good choice. 15 seconds later, another one, right? Every day. That's what it means to be a godly man. Choice after choice after choice, and we got to make them right. Can you do that? Can you do that? We got a tougher road than the ladies. Okay, they don't want to hear that, but they don't have to hear it because they're not here. Okay, but we know it. Okay? So, and we need each other to do that. You know, tomorrow morning, I had this later on in my notes, but tomorrow morning I'm making breakfast at 6 o'clock, and two of my friends are coming for breakfast, okay? Two guys. I started this just a couple weeks ago, and so it's just so important that we work together. I mean, maybe you don't like to make breakfast. Meet at a restaurant or something, okay? Well, life is a team sport. We want to make sure we don't forget that that we need to work together. A couple of illustrations here. You've seen wild geese flying in V-shaped formation, and what your notes say here is that there's actually 71% more range when they fly together because of that V-shaped formation, and the way the one goose flapping its wings creates an updraft for the goose behind it, and the way one goose in front gets tired and shifts back, okay, and they take turns. Can we do that? Do you always have to be in the front? I was thinking about this. This is not about leadership, you know, but you know, we need advice in leadership. And one of the biggest problems in our churches, and I'm off on detours here now, but the biggest problems in our churches is that, you know, we get people up front and they think they don't need the rest of us. That's not true. You need me, and I need you. Romans 15:14 says, Paul says, "I know that to the Romans that you're full of goodness and you're full of knowledge, so you can admonish each other." Okay? Is your life full of goodness? Is your life full of knowledge? Well, if it is, you can admonish me. Okay? And I should be able to admonish you. We're in this together. Another illustration they have here is draft horses at a Midwest fair. They had a big horse that could pull a sled with 4,500 pounds on it, another animal. Second place could pull one with 4,000 pounds on it. Somebody said, why don't we hook them together? And they pulled 12,000 pounds. So more than three times, two of them together could pull more than three times what one of them alone could pull. You think that's true in life? That's true. Okay. Together is going to work better. So let's, as men, let's stick together. Let's think about what we can do for each other. And in your notes, I think the places to fill in here, there are three significant relationships that will empower and energize your man's life. The first is what's called an admiring mentor. I think that should show up on your notes here if you're filling in the blanks. And as I said, I've had people who've lived their lives into me, and I just talked to you about Leon and Irvin, and men who took time for me, men who literally, these are busy men, right? If you know them, they were busy men in their busy days. And when I was a young teacher, that was some of their busiest times. They took time to live their life into me. Okay, do I have time to live my life into somebody else? That's what life is about. So an admiring mentor. This is somebody who really cares about you. An older man who will take time to go out of his way and take time, sit down with you, talk to you, call you on the phone, make some advance toward you in a healthy, strong way. Got somebody who believes in you. A teacher, a minister, could even be a father, but oftentimes it's not. Many times our fathers are too close to us, and we need somebody else. Okay, could be a boss. It's somebody who pushes you and draws you and calls you. They recognize your potential. They see the best in you. They want to see you do everything you can do. They rejoice when you succeed. When you do well, they're happy. And we desperately need these kinds of people. So in the Bible, we have Barnabas and Paul, right? And Barnabas, Apostle Paul is a person everybody knows about, but without Barnabas, there would have been no Paul. Now, they didn't always get along all their life, and sometimes it causes struggles, especially if you get a mentor, and then one of his students gets ahead of him. Then what? Is that okay? I rejoice to see some much better.